And welcome to your favorite podcast in the world, Hallmark's The Spot.
Why do you always introduce it like it's a horror? It's a horror podcast. That's what I don't understand. Hello and welcome to. And like, I'm from Ghoulies and Ghosties.
I don't know why. I just beasties. Like, just like that. I did it once and I said, I like that.
Well, it's your signature. That's Jim, by the way, and I'm Ellie. Welcome to Hallmark's The Spot.
The Hallmark Movie Review Podcast.
The best one ever.
That's right. See,
that's just how I would say it. Best one ever. You love it.
Yes, we're going to be talking about today.
Fit for a Prince, baby.
I call it a tweener. That's right. Because it is neither Love Ever After nor Spring Fling.
That's right. It's just a random Prince movie.
It is in its own random Hallmark dimension.
Well, I mean, I really think that Prince movies could be Prince / Princess movies.
Yes.
Could be their own Hallmark genre.
Yes.
Subgenre.
Subgenre. Because,
yeah.
Yes, because
Hallmark is already a genre.
Yeah. And so is Hallmark Christmas movie. So, yeah.
That's right. Ooh, we're getting awfully meta.
Sub-genre.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I wanted to talk about something. What the heck was it?
Before we talk about Fit for a Prince?
Yeah, before we talk about Fit for a Prince.
The punniest title they've had so far.
That's right. So
she's a seamstress. It's awfully fitting. Oh.
Yes.
Like that. Okay.
But before we talk about Fit for a Prince, which I you said before we talk about Fit for a Prince, then you talked about Fit for a Prince.
I just talked about the title.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything about how there's been another Christmas movie in the Hallmark genre. Where there was a prince and a seamstress. I'm sorry, fashion designer.
Fashion
designer. But they're both fashion designers. Working as seamstresses, yes?
Yes. Okay.
So. And there's another seamstress fashion designer in that other Christmas movie with Warren. I just didn't realize. The one where she moves from LA to
Lacey Chabert. And Brennan Elliott.
Brennan Elliott.
That one. Christmas Melody.
That's right.
Santa's going to make things right this Christmas.
Santa's going to make it right. Come on, Santa. That's a real song released by, what's her face?
Yes.
Yeah, Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey, yes. Yeah,
I had no idea until I saw this.
Well, it's actually a re-lyricized version of a song she had.
Oh, okay.
And so. I should not know that. So.
Okay, so what would you like to talk about before we talk about Fit for a Prince?
Oh, when we were talking about, we were at some point going to talk about the Hallmark movies we think
deserve a sequel. Yes.
And I was one
Christmas
of
list.
Yeah, one of them in my head was Trading Christmas.
20 years later.
20 years later. Right.
Just kidding.
But we've seen. Now, what do you think is our most watched Hallmark movie?
Summer to Remember.
Right.
Yeah.
How about Hallmark Christmas movie?
Christmas List.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Trading Christmas would have been way up there.
It is way up there. I mean, there.
And so would Christmas Card.
Christmas Card, Trading Christmas, Christmas List, Christmas to Remember, The Mistletoe Inn.
Yeah.
So that's five off the top of my head that we are definitely our most watched Christmas movies of all time.
Very Merry Mix-Up.
Well, yeah, what am I talking about?
And
I'm insane.
And Christmas Under Wraps. We've seen that a lot, too.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Yeah.
I was so, like, wait, which one
is But the point is, yeah, but those, Trading Christmas and Christmas Cards were like the original Hallmark movies.
The first two we saw.
And you better remember them because we are having a trivia contest.
What? When?
I have to watch both movies and come up with questions. But Richie from Destroy All Movies, who I do Destroy All Movies with, and Elizabeth agreed to come on the show. We've been trying to get her on for a long time.
Oh my goodness.
A very big Hallmark fan.
They were the ones who introduced us to the Hallmark Christmas
right.
movies.
Right. The Christmas card was
and Trading Christmas.
So we are going to have
a trivia off.
The three of you with questions from me.
Wow.
About those two movies.
So it's me against them? Is that really
no,
fair?
No, not you it's against them, to them together.
Oh.
Everyone is...
For themselves.
For themselves.
Okay. Do we have buzzers or what do we do? How's this going to work? I've got to do my visualization.
No buzzers. It's not going to be like a toss-up question.
Oh, okay.
It's going to run like I ask you a question and the person, one of the people can steal... If you don't get it right.
Okay.
But then they lose points if they miss.
Okay. Or if I miss. Oh, but they lose points if they miss and I've missed it.
Yeah.
Do I lose points for missing it?
No.
Because that's never going to happen anyway.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Just kidding.
That's why. Because I
get to watch him again too.
Well, he said they have to now watch it,
right?
Because they need to study up.
That's right.
We need so to which up. Means I can't make easy. I've gotta.
Right. Yeah. Because it would be fun just to have him on and have you, you know, come up with things.
Like I gotta have some difficult questions on
That's
this.
Right. If we didn't use every scrap of lumber, we wouldn't have any profit.
And it would. And it was. Don't you. Now you show it off. Now you're trying to show off.
I mean, is it going to be like that? Am I going to have to know about the edger? the different machines and the whole process in the lumber mill?
No. But I may ask.
How many hours was he on the phone when they were cutting down Christmas trees?
Or. How many pieces of lumber does Cody throw in that one scene?
I don't know. I don't know what you're
talking about. When he's throwing the boards.
Right.
You know, rolling them off the machine and then throwing them. Oh, yes.
Yeah, so like four or something.
It would be something like that where I said, like, how many boards does he throw?
Okay, that's a lot.
Yes.
That's hard.
Exactly.
That's hard.
If I make it too easy, there's no fun.
Oh, but that's almost ridiculous.
Someone asked me once in a Star Wars trivia game, how many bolts did Luke block with his lightsaber from the practice remote?
Right.
And I closed my eyes, remembered the scene, and said what it was. So there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll close my eyes and look at Cody. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Somebody can steal that. I'm not going to steal that question from somebody.
Yeah.
they can steal it and lose points.
Exactly.
Okay. So, all right, Cody.
So.
Yeah. What color are the guest room towels? Green.
Yes. Yep. I asked that to Richie, too. He knew that.
Yeah, of course. Because they're mentioned twice.
Yeah.
Yours are the green
Yours
ones.
Yours are the green ones.
Right. And then. She says to her boyfriend, your eyes are greener than the guest room towels, the bath towels in the guest room. After they were making out on the couch or whatever.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. All right. What wines do they taste?
Now you're asking me?
No, but I'm saying that would be a good one too.
Yeah. Okay. Well. All right. No, right. No more probing for, or
I'm not probing. I'm just planting seeds.
Yeah, exactly. No planting seeds. No. Oh, yes. Why don't you ask something about this?
That's right.
Because I know that. And,
what carols do they sing in church? Yeah.
I'm not. See, now those questions will not be on it because
you're going to forget by then.
No, I won't.
Well, when you're desperate for questions, you'll think of it. Maybe those are first round questions. It'll be like the trivia
contest. Let's not discuss the type.
It'll be like the trivia contest in my other favorite movie, Check Into Christmas.
The trivia contest, Check Into Christmas?
Check Into Christmas has the trivia contest.
Oh.
And okay. He says, heard so-and-so asking about the, Crest Ridge Christmas trivia. I think that's going to be a category. Okay.
Well, okay.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Are they just coming on for that? Or are they going to actually watch the Spring Fling movie?
No, they're probably just going to come on for that.
Okay. All right. They're just hardcore Christmas movie watchers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Fit for a prince, baby. You ready?
Cindy is an aspiring fashion designer whose talents have been the creative force behind a high-profile designer, but longs to strike out on her own. Hired to dress the ladies of a wealthy family hosting an upcoming charity ball, Cindy's life takes an unexpected turn when Prince Ronan, in town to attend the gala, becomes smitten with her and also takes note of her talent for design. Starring Natalie Hall and Jonathan Keltz.
Who?
Jonathan Keltz.
K-E-L-T-Z.
Yes, Keltz.
Excuse me.
Ooh.
And Natalie
what? Ellie's got the hiccups.
Yeah.
And Natalie Hall.
Hall. Oh, okay.
Jonathan Keltz was on CW's Reign.
REIGN.
Reign, right. Yes.
So he's definitely no stranger to the Prince role. He played
a kitchen boy turned war hero.
Oh, in Reign?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He was also a recurring role on HBO's Entourage.
Oh, I used to watch that.
And was in Hallmark movies Falling for Look Lodge and Once Upon a Prince.
Upon a Prince.
This is his second turn as a prince.
In the Hallmark universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, we know her from You Baking Me Crazy.
That's right.
Our inaugural podcast.
She was also the princess in that.
The one where she's up on the mountain.
Yeah.
What's the name of that?
A Winter Princess.
A Winter Princess, yeah. Where her dream is to organize this party, and her boss's brother comes along and messes it up for her.
Yeah.
Like, it's her dream job. Oh, man. But who was in that? Her brother was Garth.
Yes.
From the Mistletoe Inn.
Mistletoe Inn, yes.
And of course, he's been a sidekick. He's also the brother in You're Baking Me Crazy.
Right. But he's not in this.
Yeah, no, he's not. Just saying, we've seen that guy a lot. Okay, so, and that was it? She was just in those two? You're Baking Me Crazy and a Winter Princess? No.
She was in other things. You want me to go through her whole bio?
Well, only the Hallmark things.
The Hallmark thing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. No, we don't have to go through a whole bio, unless it's princess related.
No. Yeah. Oh, she was also in Love's Christmas Journey.
Was that a Movies and Mysteries?
I don't know what it was. It just says Hallmark Channel's original movie, Love's Christmas Journey. Never heard of it. Doesn't say.
Oh, wow. Okay. Usually they give you a year. All right.
Now, this isn't IMDb. This is Hallmark's.
No, but they usually tell you when their own movies came out, I thought.
No, not necessarily. Not in the bios.
All right. Well, over here, I always imagined you were just leaving them out.
No, they leave them out.
Okay. So what do we want to say about Fit for a Prince?
How does it open? What's the...
Well, basically, she's the head seamstress. You figure out right away that the woman she works for is a bit of a, difficult person to work for. They set it up that she basically shows up, gives them more work to do.
Yeah.
And leaves it to, what's her name? What's
Clarice? The character?
Yeah.
Oh.
Carly? No.
Carly?
No, I'm making things up.
No, I looked up Love's Christmas Journey and we definitely did not see Love Christmas. It looks like Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's one of the When Calls the Heart Christmas specials. Okay, Cindy and Ronan.
Ronan, yes.
Okay, so Cindy works for this woman who seems pretty impossible to work for.
Yes.
And she...
A big fashion designer, but she hasn't... Cindy does all the actual designing.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty early on... Like, within the first lines of the whole movie, they establish that, like, Cindy's the one who puts the extra thought in. She's the one who comes up with, like, oh, we're going to change this neckline a little and, you know, make the dress that much better. And meanwhile, this woman is basically passing all this stuff off as her own. It didn't seem that those sketches were from the designer. It seemed that she was doing the sketches. Yes,
they were.
Yeah. So she's doing the sketches, and just because that woman approves them, I guess that's okay, right? I mean, architects used to do that. They'd have all their little minions working for them, and then they took credit for this stuff. It's like being a scientist.
Yeah.
So, like, okay. All right. But it just seemed a little very exploitative.
Yes.
I don't know.
Because the fashion designer is not managing anything. It's not like, oh, I'm managing this group of creative people and I'm the one with the overarching vision. You know, she just goes around gallivanting and doing PR for the company.
But she's drumming up the business. I mean, so if it weren't for them, for her being out there, this woman wouldn't be able to design everything she does, and they wouldn't have all the dresses they do because you know, they need the front woman out there drumming up all the business. So basically it's set in Philadelphia, and the rich people live in this apparently a huge mansion in the middle of a ton of acreage in Chestnut Hill, which is a very, you know, tony part of Philadelphia, so that checks out.
Okay.
Although I don't know I don't know how big the acreage is up there. I didn't
think. Well, we'll have to go there and measure.
We will.
Measure the acreage.
No, I'm just saying I'm pretty sure it's some stock footage from someplace else. but whatever, maybe they have like a 200 acre thing.
Right.
So this family in Chestnut Hill is doing this big benefit, but they're also hosting Prince Ronan.
Right.
And I kind of don't understand why, but it's like, I don't know how many in these movies the departure is. He's there without any publicists, without anyone handling him, and he does whatever the American woman tells him to.
Yeah.
I found that very unusual for this genre of movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe there's nothing more to say on that, but he also seems to gallivant around himself. And so he just walked right in to the place looking for her boss, whatever her name is, Rebecca or whatever.
I don't remember her name.
It was like everywhere. Yeah. And I don't remember. So he's looking for her, and he quickly discerns that Cindy is the brains and the talent of this operation.
Right. And he goes, yeah, you know, I can really go for a new suit of clothes myself.
That's right. If that means I'll be able to spend more time with you.
Yeah.
And so they have some banter back and forth about spontaneity. But
he is obviously infatuated.
Love at first sight, I tell you. So he invites her out to lunch, and she says, no, I'm too busy. I'm Cinderella sweating it out here in the kitchen, making all these.
Can I bring up a point here?
Yes.
She is too busy. That, you know, they had, 4 days to come up with outfits for 5 people?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, she shouldn't have had time to spend with this guy.
No. No, but then I don't even know. I mean, I know they have, like, machines for doing this, but, like...
Not custom stuff.
They special ordered... They showed them hand sewing things.
Yeah, they have
special
to.
Ordered the first round of fabrics. She keeps on adding, oh, well, you need to do my dress, too. And now you have to do the suit. Like, you know... And they're all completely overworked. And she's like, okay, as soon as these things are done, you go on vacation. It's like the weirdest thing. Like she runs the shop.
Right.
She was really good at negotiating when she said, oh, you know, Andrew, you have to do another thing. She said, okay, but my staff gets a raise or whatever.
Yeah.
She was really good at negotiating on behalf of those other people, but she was terrible standing up for herself. She just kept on doing whatever that woman said for the vague hope that she would help her branch out on her own.
Yeah.
Why would that woman let her go?
Exactly. But isn't that what he says?
Yes.
That, you know, he basically says, oh, you know, she's not going to fire you. When she showed up at the party wearing casual clothes.
That's a very pivotal moment.
So
she goes to do the fittings at the mansion in Chestnut Hill.
Yeah.
And it's a weird situation, obviously, like a hotel or something. And so the prince sees that she's there and he's just like hanging around. And I'm like, wait, if she's measuring a bunch of ladies or whatever, he wouldn't be caught anywhere near there, but he's just kind of hanging out.
You could say he was a royal pain in her butt.
So, well, and of course she got the whole speech from the boss when she said, well, he asked me out to lunch. Well, you said no, right? We have a no fraternizing with the customer policy. And I thought, what are you doing? Choosing these women left, right, and center. So the grandmother of this whole group of socialites, we'll just call them that, is the only one who's down to earth. There was a strange interaction. I mentioned it at the time, and I don't exactly remember what it was, but it was like the daughter-in-law was telling the mother how to behave and how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And the mother-in-law would have been the one who had all the money, I thought.
Yeah.
Like in that situation, in those rich families, generally it's the money, it's old money.
Yeah.
And so the mom would not be, you know, completely out of touch with how benefits work and how people are supposed to act and who is supposed to be included, et cetera. So the mom, wasn't it the mom who invited the mother or grandmother or whatever? She was the one who invited Cindy to the dinner, right?
Yeah.
So she takes a shine to Cindy. She really likes her. And she really likes her for Ronan.
Uh-huh.
And she starts to play matchmaker and says, you come to dinner with us when we're like having our it's before the dresses are gonna be done. It's some cocktail dinner thing. And so she also sees when she's there doing the fitting that there's this other woman with an accent. So, you know, that she's like not from there. Right. Didn't she have a British accent?
Yes.
And so she turns out she's the one that the royal family, Ronan's family, hopes that he marries.
Right.
So then there's this whole thing back and forth. Is that your girlfriend? No, but she's your date for this thing. Yeah. But your family wants you to marry her. Yeah. But so what?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you have a girlfriend. Like, and so that was really interesting. So that woman gets on the horn and she calls up Cindy and says, oh, you know, we're going to do something fun. We're all going to dress casually. And this woman does not think she's too nice. She does not think these are mean girls. Mm-hmm. They are setting me up.
Right.
She drives the van without a backup outfit. And she shows up at this dinner wearing "You Only Live Once," right?
Yeah.
A t-shirt. And everybody's like, And everybody knows that somebody pranked her. Mm-hmm. And nobody pays any attention. Right. After the initial, like, oh, I don't think I would have worn that shirt. That's a terrible shirt. Yeah. Whatever. And then Prince Ronan, because he's such a nice guy, he's like, which one of them called you? I mean, yeah. he definitely shows a lot of savvy, right? First of all, susses out that she's the brains and the talent behind that organization.
Yeah.
Right. And knows immediately that she's been pranked. And he goes and he changes into like a rock and roll t-shirt and jeans, black right. jeans or whatever. And then, but something happened. She was like, if she wasn't embarrassed enough, she was like mortified because she ruined somebody's dress at that party. Right.
Yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. But I was like, there had to be a reason why. Then she goes outside. She's like hiding outside. Why is she hiding? She has the car. She could. Oh, because the valets told her it was going to take a long time.
Yeah.
There were like 30 people at this party. It's going to take us a long time to find your car on yeah. this 200 acre estate. Like, oh, come on, dudes. So she's sitting outside. He comes out. They're about to kiss and sprinklers. And so then she's trying to dry off. She's drying off and he has to go schmooze because he has shown a complete disregard for his obligations to this, his hostess, this party, everything.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with her. So she comes in the mean, was it the mean one or a different mean one? The mother? No, it was the mean one.
Yeah.
And she comes in and says, you have to go, you know, pay your respects to the, you know, dinner or whatever. And right. he tells Cindy, don't leave. And then somebody comes in and tells her, I forget who, they're all the same.
Yeah.
You know, comes in and says, you really think that, you know, you could have this guy, you know, you're totally not fit for this. He's just being nice to you or whatever. I don't right. even know what they said. It doesn't matter. It's mm-hmm. always the same. So she leaves and he chases after her. And of course, she doesn't look in the rearview mirror, doesn't see him running out yeah. after her. He misses her by like 10
again,
seconds, not even.
Again, phones don't exist.
Phones don't exist. She's driving. Yeah. You don't call a woman who's driving. Yeah. So she goes away. And I think the next scene is, well, it may have been a scene in the shop, but
yeah.
She basically, the next major scene is she comes back to the house with their dresses.
Right.
And they're setting up some catering.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, a chocolate fountain is running.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the guy puts the dresses right in front of the chocolate fountain.
And then one of the wheels comes off the dress.
The rack.
Dress rack, and all the dresses end up in the chocolate fountain.
Yeah.
And so once again, mortified, embarrassed, runs out of there, just shoves them all into a bag. They're ruined.
Yeah.
She goes and she has to design dresses and sew them overnight from material that they have in stock.
Right.
The brightest, you know, bright blue, bright red, you know, very garish colors compared to what they had had. And she does her friend. How did he know to come back? The guy who worked for her, he said, oh, well, I'm not going anywhere till tomorrow. But how did yeah. he know to come back and that there was like some sort of
an emergency?
I forget. I couldn't believe she didn't yeah. call the other people. So yes. basically, she designs the dresses. Of course, they need all new designs because of the new fabric. And she and one other trained seamstress, seems whatever you call
seamster,
man, seamster, tailor, and yeah. and the Prince Ronan who restores old furniture. So that's basically the same as sewing.
Yeah, I guess.
It
translates.
Yeah. Design the dresses, cut.
Maybe he's good at upholstery.
Maybe. It is sewing. They yeah. use big needles. Yeah.
Right, but.
Yeah.
Principle's the same.
Yeah. So he said, oh, I'm good with my hands. I should be able to sew.
Right. So
they work all night And they fall asleep and basically are woken up like an hour before the event.
Yes.
Where are our dresses? And they're ready to go. They just decided to take a cat nap instead of taking the dresses over there immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 6 o'clock at night. And then they love them. They're the best. And they call her and invite her to the ball.
Right. Right? Well, yeah.
Or he comes to invite her to the ball or something. Yeah.
And her boss, all of a sudden, says, I'm going to make you my partner.
No. He basically blackmails her. He outs her in front of the women.
Right.
He's like, you're wearing these so-and-so Rebecca Russian or whatever originals.
Yeah.
But who's the real, you know, I was there last night and I could tell you, the brains and the talent behind this organization is Cindy. And so what are you going to do about that? And she is basically forced in the moment to make her a partner. It's, yeah. Oh yeah. You're right. I will reward you. I'll make you my partner.
Yes.
Like she could have made her a partner before. Right. It was only she got blackmailed into it basically. Yeah. Or shamed.
There's no way in heck they could have done that.
No.
Made four, designed and made four dresses with no fittings and.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Just.
And then they dance. They dance at the ball. How does it end?
Oh, man, that's a really good question. I was hoping you would remember because I'm sitting there and I'm going, how does this movie end? Oh, man, this is embarrassing.
I choose not to be embarrassed.
Why?
Because it's a reflection of the movie.
Okay.
So either we both fell asleep and don't remember that we fell asleep, which I don't think that was it.
You want to pause it and then watch the end? I don't.
Wow. Because, like, is there any...
I remember the thing about her being a partner. But wasn't
he supposed to now take?
The evil girlfriend.
Oh,
says
she becomes less evil by the way. Like on a sudden, dime,
like on a dime, says, you know, he really loves you, and I should, you know, I hoped he loved me, but he doesn't. He really loves you, and you should be together.
Right.
Like out of nowhere.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, what do they say for the future, right? Because there's always a future conversation. So here she's going to become the partner. She doesn't turn it down.
Right.
And he's supposed to become the king. Right? Didn't he get the news while he was there? His father was going to like step down by the end of the year.
Right, right.
And so, but there was no talk of you can design dresses in whatever St. Augustine's or whatever the name of my.
I don't recall.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, this is.
Wow.
This is terrible. This is terrible.
Uh-oh.
This movie had such a little staying power with us that. After a couple of days after watching it, we just don't remember how it ended.
Wow.
Well, okay. We might as well rate it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good. I'll give it a 2. No, 1.5.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why I give it 1.5.
Laying on me.
Natalie Hall did not annoy me in this one, although she's totally annoyed me in like You're Baking Me Crazy and The Winter Princess. She was not that annoying in this one. Kelts, whatever his first name is, he was also, you know, he's a pretty good, you know, prince. I felt that his character in this, I have to compare it to like, you know, Once Upon a Prince or whatever that was.
Yeah.
His character in this was definitely more, not cunning, sharp. He was just sharp.
Yeah.
He like assessed situations quickly. He understood that she had been pranked. It was, you know, some of these some of these princes are like, oh, I don't want to be a prince, as if they've never been exposed to like politics and political machinations, etc. Yeah. And this guy was like, no, he was on top of that. He knew what was going on. You couldn't pull the wool over his eyes. Uh-huh. And I liked that. I liked that. He wasn't just like a dumb prince that, you know, was
just not a dumb prince like most of them.
I'm not saying the other ones are dumb. I'm just saying he had like an edge to him that some of the other princes don't have. You know, because they're either idealistic or they just want to be an artist and not a prince, etc. Right? He was like, his father was stepping down and he was like, oh, okay. But he wasn't like falling apart at the news. And, you know, he wasn't, why me? Or, you know, we've seen these are, I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. This is stuff that we've seen in other prince movies. Movies about princes, I should say. So I kind of give it 1.5 for that. I mean, and for being set in Philadelphia, even though it didn't have to be set in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced that was Chestnut Hill. So. 19118.
When you were talking about other movies about princes, all that was going through my head is the Spin Doctors, Two Princes. The song.
Okay, anyway. Yeah. So 1.5.
1.5.
You try to beat that.
I'll give it 1.5 as well. I can't give it 2.
No.
No,
plus that woman who plays the mom is the mom from one of my favorite Christmas movies. It's not a Hallmark movie. The 12 Dates of Christmas.
12 Dates of Christmas. But she was also in that Love and Sunshine.
She was in Love.
She was the aunt. The aunt.
In Love and Sunshine. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, not Love and Sunshine. The one where she's the florist. It's Danica McKellar.
It's the same difference, right?
Yeah, almost. Except one of them has the guy from...
Yeah, because that's right, Cameron Mathis. Yeah, yes, because she makes that special rose.
Yes,
and
the crystal. Yeah, Valentine's
Rose. Yeah, Love and Sunshine. She also
is a she's a landscape designer and a nursery owner.
A nursery owner, so she dealt with flowers in both of them. I feel okay about getting them mixed up.
Well, plus the guy. They don't look that similar, but phenotypically, you know, Cameron Matheson smiles a lot, not as much as that guy.
Okay, we apologize for using big words.
What big word?
Phenotypical.
It just means they look the same.
Yeah.
I wasn't talking about their physiognomy. Whoa!
Oh, boom.
Which I kind of was, because that's her face.
Yeah, it's a mic drop. So
I'm saying she has long hair in this one. She looks bad. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, she doesn't look terrible as a person, but like she looks much better with that cute little pixie cut or whatever that she normally has.
Right.
So that was distracting.
Yeah.
But I didn't take points away because that would be shallow.
Yeah. So the story was forgettable, obviously.
Obviously.
Well,
and I felt like people should have made a bigger deal that she was dressed it like a schlub for a hoity-toity party.
Right.
Because let me tell you, upper-class people, they have something to say about that stuff.
Yes, right? Like, why didn't she just leave and get changed?
Yeah. That was nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
Because she probably, you know... lived in deep South Philly or whatever and couldn't make it all the way back to
Oh my God. Right. You lived in Philadelphia. You got to really let up on the.
Maybe even worse. Yeah. Maybe she lived in Jersey. Oh. Just kidding. Delaware County. She would have been able to make it back to Chestnut Hill. Just saying.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's just so Natalie Hall is not one of my favorites.
Nope.
She is extremely inauthentic. Let's put it that way. I never buy her in any of the roles that she's in.
Yep.
She doesn't seem like in any of the professions that like in You're Making Me Crazy.
Oh my
There's
God.
There's no way.
No, come on. She goes
was
to the
a chef.
She goes to the farmer's market wearing her clogs and her
her chef coat and all of that. Chefs don't walk around in their chef coat
and
out in public.
She buys like one piece of fruit or something.
Yeah. For
Yeah.
So
weird. Yeah.
Yes. So she's very
and Winter Princess. She was totally not believable. Come on.
Yeah. I did.
That was terrible. That movie.
Right. Yeah. I agree. She's very inauthentic in all of them. Because she looks like she's acting.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, wears the acting on her sleeve.
Well, don't you think that, like, she's a model who wants to be an actress or something? I mean, she is beautiful. You can't.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there are some people who seem natural and some people who don't. And she's of people who don't.
Yeah. So.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, and him, I can take him or leave him.
Yeah.
He has no charisma.
He's a very wussy prince.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's why I was surprised he had such an edge and he was so quick.
Yeah.
To like suss out situations because, you know, in that last one, he was just like, whichever the way the wind was blowing him, you know, in Once Upon a Prince.
Yeah, I know.
He
was very lightweight.
Yeah. I mean, it was his sister was trying to push him. His mom and dad were against him, you know, and he was just, no, but I love her. I love her and I want to go back and work in her father's.
Who was his co-star in that one?
The woman from Secret Life of the American Teenager that I can't remember.
Okay,
her name.
That's not going to get it for me.
She was the sister of the one where the woman gets. Where all the partridge in a pear tree and the turtle dove, all the 12 gifts of Christmas, or not gifts of Christmas, but I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
All the people actually show up and dance at the house and stuff. And she thinks that it's got the Soul Surfer. Gregory Harrison is the dad.
Right.
So it's the sister who's getting married.
Right.
The boring, oh, I'm an actuary or whatever. And I just want to be a boring... wear my mama's dress and
not making it for me.
So she's blonde and she's got green eyes. And I don't know, aside from those two things, she has been in one other thing, but I don't know what.
Yeah, because you brought up one of the Christmas movies I know the least.
Well, that's because it's so annoying. It's got the brother from Snow Bride, which we've watched a ton too. it's got the brother from Snow Bride. And she's the children's book illustrator.
Right, and I can't picture her in my head at all.
And now her sister, she's the goofy one. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then the sister, though, is the one we're trying to remember. Oh, she was in the Time for You to Come Home for Christmas. She was the one who makes jam, and she meets the country singer in the airport. And they end up living like 20 miles away from each other.
Yeah.
And they go home and he realizes she's trying to keep her jam business going. She'd been in New York or Chicago or whatever.
Okay.
Trying to sell like.
Keep her jam business going.
Yeah. It was her mom's jam business. And she was trying to sell like not beef jerky. Peppermint bark. What's the other thing that's like sticks in your teeth?
Licorice?
No. Anyway, she had candy.
Taffy?
Kind of like taffy, whatever, but candies that she had made with the jams.
Right.
And she was trying to like sell those.
Right.
To get more money so that they wouldn't have to lay people off.
None of this is making this woman... face pop into my head. You're talking about a lot of obscure Hallmark movies. I don't want to know now.
I understand.
Just give me a name of a movie.
I've said The Secret Life of the American Teenager. It's not a movie.
That's not a movie. I said a Hallmark movie.
I can't remember their names, so that's why I'm looking for the cast, and then I'll tell you her name, and then we can look her up. Megan Park. M-E-G-A-N Park. P-A-R-K. She's a Canadian actress, singer, and director.
Oh, yeah.
She's 5'2".
Okay. All right. Wow. Yeah. Her jam business. Okay.
I mean, she's known for her portrayal of Grace Bowman in Secret Life of the American Teenager. That's
I've never seen that show. So no, saying,
I wouldn't expect that you
saying
would.
That. Again,
I don't accept that every time we talk about her, I tell you that.
And I
that's all I remember. Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
The Road to Christmas? No. That's not it. That was 2006. Oh, wow. No. Hold on. She's been a lot of stuff. Time for Me to Come Home for Christmas. Sorry, not Time for You to Come Home for Christmas. The first one. Time for Me to Come Home for Christmas.
You got it wrong.
A Christmas Wish. Was that the one? I think that was the one.
Yeah.
And then, so Once Upon a Prince was 2018. Time for Me to Come Home for Christmas was 2018.
Right. And
A Christmas Wish was 2019.
Okay.
And then she was in an episode of Young Sheldon. I mean, she works a lot.
Well, now we know a lot about Megan Park.
Yeah, which has almost nothing to do with
Fit for a Prince.
We were worried we didn't have anything to talk about.
And we didn't. We
didn't. So now I have a trick question for you.
Okay.
Keep or delete?
Oh, how is that a trick question?
Because first we have to watch it again to see how it ends.
No.
We have to watch the end again.
No, I'd rather delete it before watching it again.
No, I have to see how it ends.
Okay, fine. you watch it, you tell me later.
While you're making dinner, I will watch it. Yeah. Yeah. That's how that'll go.
Yeah.
And I'll say, oh, but I just don't did they waltz? I think she knew how to dance, right?
It's very possible.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't.
Was that the one where you said they don't have a band?
Yeah. I was going, what? Yeah, they didn't have a band. For a gala like that, you would have a...
Right.
You would have, like...
Where was the thing?
You know, a quartet or something. And
Was the thing where we saw them dancing slowly, then they, like, danced... to rock and roll, and then they danced slowly again. What the heck was that? Was that a different movie?
No, yeah, that was It Was Only You, where we were just watching that.
Yeah.
With Tyler Hines and...
Right.
And they were dancing. And then, because they were dancing to an upbeat number, and then it immediately switched to a slow dance.
Always. No, but I feel like, it could have been Always Be My Maybe. Like, it could have been in that.
Something. Yeah.
So... that's what happened. I watched a movie in between this and that, and phew, it's all gone. So, yeah, I say delete, but I will rewatch the end. So oh, that I know definitely how it ends.
Say delete. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good. So. Not like, by the way, we should fess up or report or whatever. That the Tyler Hines movie, It Was Always You.
Yes,
I think we ended up watching it like another time already.
Yeah, well, we didn't say it was bad.
I know, but remember it was like, I said delete, but keep it on there, because there are worse things to keep.
Yeah, like this.
but I'm saying I'm surprised it was on TV and we like watched it again.
Yeah.
That one was the best of the Spring Flings. I just wanted to think we gave it a 3.
We also said that on the show.
I know, but I'm just saying I confirmed it.
Okay.
Our behavior confirmed what we said. I just want people to know we are not, we don't just make stuff up.
We are not inauthentic.
That's right. We're very authentic.
Yes.
Obviously.
Too authentic.
Yeah. Well, I hope she doesn't listen. Natalie Hall doesn't listen and say, what do they mean I'm not authentic?
Yes.
Just like that. Very inauthentically.
Exactly. So if you disagree,
that's right, you can send us an email at
marksthespotmail@gmail.com
You can check out, if you're curious about Richie, there's no information about him, but you could go to
damshow.co and check out our other fine podcast.
That's right. The Damn Junior Podcasting Network. Junior is Jim and Richie.
Yes. There's a salty language in that one, though.
Yeah, a lot just of salty language. And lewd.
It's not lewd.
It's a bunch of guys getting together talking about movies.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's not lewd in any way.
Not anymore. What else? I was gonna say next week's, but I can't remember what it is.
Oh, next week is that Cindy Busby and the Thinker.
Oh yeah.
No, not the Thinker.
The pretty guy.
Yeah, and the pretty boy.
Have a great week, and you know, in like a lion, out like a lamb. Enjoy Martin.